listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Pharmacy Podcast Network listeners, you are listening to the APHA podcast. We're excited about our partnership with the APHA. We just got back from one of the most dynamic gatherings I have ever been to. We had a record-setting number of interviews with a five-part series that we did with the American Pharmacists Association out of Orlando's event that was just amazing. There were record-setting attendance for our students. Students are getting involved. They are our future pharmacists. There's something that we're going to be talking about today that we're going to be prefacing the future of our entire profession. Actually, the future is right now. I want to welcome the CEO, the senior vice president of the APHA, Michael Hogue. Michael, it was so good to see you in Orlando.
Thanks, Todd. Yeah, it was a great meeting. And now we're back in D.C. and a lot of work to do.
There is a lot of work to do. I am just blown away by the surge of what's taking place. And I know Wall Street's watching this. I know that our news is watching this. Just on the 24th of April, there was an article that came out that was stated pharma lobbying up in 2024. And when you read down through this this article, for those people that really know what's going on in the world of pharmacy care, the amount of money that is being pushed into lobbying to keep everything status quo for pharmacy benefit managers is incredibly telling. The Pharmaceutical Care Management Association, known as PCMA, has put in almost $5 million into lobbying to once again keep their pieces of the pie, which is actually most of the pie, in place. So that's what I want to talk to you about today.
Well, I mean, I don't think there's anything more important that we could talk about in the moment. I mean, we have got a crisis going on right now. I'm just going to call it like I see it here. I know that there are individuals who are pharmacists who work for pharmacy benefit management companies. And I just want to say out of the gate, APHA supports you in your professional career as individual pharmacists. But, you know, all of us, have to support our families, and I get that and I understand that. What I'm going to talk about are the companies that unfortunately are engaging in practices that are inhibiting the ability of pharmacists and local communities to take care of patients. And they're inhibiting that ability by reimbursing for the products that are being distributed in pharmacies at below cost of purchase. And that then means pharmacists have no ability to provide services either for those communities. So we're seeing pharmacies close left and right. And so I'm just going to tell every pharmacist listening to me in today's podcast, I'm going to step on everybody's toes. I'm going to make sure that, that everyone understands with certainty exactly what's going on in Washington as it relates to the pharmacy benefit management companies. And Todd, I'm hoping later on the podcast, maybe we can talk a little bit about what individual pharmacists in their local communities need to be doing on this issue.
Yes.
But you're exactly right. The amount of money being spent in Washington right now to keep the status quo with pharmacy benefit management companies is absolutely staggering.
It is staggering. We understand that PCMA is ramping up the funding as well as the attention that they're putting into keeping their clients, the largest of the three PBMs, exactly where they are in continuing to grow, has very little to do with pharmacy care or having the direction of what pharmacists believe are necessary and working with physicians to tune in to the care that's needed for our chronic sufferers and what they're going through and how they can't pay for things. We know that pharmacies are closing. Another interesting thing, Michael, is how pharmacies are closing with regards to the organizations that are standing behind the PBMs as well. So it's almost as if they're eating their own young, because they can't withstand the model to keep these pharmacies open and keep them staffed and keep people working.
Right.
And it really shows the imbalance of what the PBMs have done.
Yeah, it's not just independent pharmacies that are closing, folks. I mean, we have chain pharmacies closing left and right. We have hospital-owned community pharmacies closing left and right. We have small community hospitals closing. And you'd say, well, PBMs don't have anything to do with that, do they? Oh, yes, they do. Drug reimbursement and product reimbursement is a critical part of the entire healthcare industry. It's not just about independent community pharmacies, although those are important. And I just want to call out to the listeners something. You know, I get more emails and text messages and social posts and things. What is APHA doing? You know, does APHA fight against the PBMs? What's APHA doing day in and day out? And I want to tell you, I want to just tell our listeners exactly what we're doing. You know, we're not doing a good enough job of telling this story, but APHA has two full-time government affairs staff whose role and responsibility here is to lobby. They're registered as lobbyists on Capitol Hill. They are every day, every single day, and without exception, okay, save their weekends perhaps, on Capitol Hill, meeting with members of Congress, educating congressional staff, talking about this issue. We have a firm that we use outside of just these two that are also working here. We coordinate our efforts with all the other national pharmacy associations. Not all of them have lobbyists, but some of them do. And the ones that do, we coordinate their work with them. We're dedicated to this. APHA also was a party in the state of Arkansas case against PCMA that went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. APHA was one of the parties that was in that lawsuit where the U.S. Supreme Court found in favor of the state of Arkansas that it is, in fact, appropriate and good for the states to regulate the pharmacy benefit management companies. APHA was part of that fight. APHA is part of a fight right now in a case called Mulready versus PCMA that's going to the U.S. Supreme Court. We've helped file the documents in that one, hoping that the Supreme Court will hear that case, again, further emphasizing the authority of the states to be able to do this. We're doing this, folks, and we're fighting day in and day out. I'm having conversations day in and day out with the PBMs directly and with others to try to fix this situation of upside down reimbursement for pharmaceuticals. And Todd, the reason I want to really emphasize this point, as you showed earlier and we discussed earlier, there's $4.6 million spent this year alone by the PBM's lobbying firm, PCMA, to try to convince members of Congress to keep things status quo. And you know what? They're succeeding. So far, things are status quo. Pharmacists, APHA needs you to pay your membership dues and to help get in this fight. Our PAC, our Political Action Committee at APHA, only had about $160,000 in it last year, compared to PCMA putting in $4.6 million. We need pharmacists in every practice setting to pay their dues to APHA and then consider making a contribution to our political action committee so that we can get this law changed. We have got to get the laws changed in this country on the federal level so that Medicare Part D actually functions the way it was intended to function by providing good access to care, good access to pharmaceuticals, fair reimbursement to the pharmacists who provide those care services and the pharmacies that dispense those pharmaceuticals. It's a very simple formula, but we've got to get in the game, and we really, really have got to have the support of pharmacists. APHA is investing time, effort, and energy to the extent that we can, but we can't contribute to a PAC unless we have pharmacists that are actually members contributing to our PAC. And so please help us. We really need pharmacists to help us in this moment. We are standing in a spot right now unlike any we've ever stood in our history, and we've got to have the profession unite. And now's the time for that to happen. We've got just a few more months in this current Congress to get this done, and we need you to help us.
There are team members on the APHA who focus on the federal and also the state movements, the plate tectonics of what's happening in pharmacy care. Mr. Michael Baxter has been part of the APHA for years. He really understands this. He's kind of like your subject matter expert around government affairs and understanding the nuances of what's happening in the lobbying world. However, Michael and yourself and your team, I think of Robert Hodges that I work with a lot, they are the front of the spear of what is the pharmacy profession, but the entire profession has to stand up. We have 300,000 active pharmacists around that throughout the country, and we need each of them to take a vested interest in their profession to really push this as hard as possible in order to fight what's happening with PCMA and keeping the pharmacy benefit managers unchecked. And it's really about supporting the pharmacists to make the decisions that they are supposed to be making to keep the public safe, as well as keep medication adherence up and not having to have a formulary outside that is more of an administrative unit to dictate pharmacy care. Insurance companies were never ever invented, nor were ever supposed to dictate any kind of health care. They were supposed to be there to assist in making sure that things were being paid for and making sure that the benefits were moving as intended. So when I'm talking to you, your pharmacy technicians, when we're talking to pharmacists, above and beyond paying your dues for APHA, we want you to do that today. We want you to go to the APHA's website and renew your membership. But we also want you to get involved. There are stories that you can tell, only pharmacists can tell, that you've experienced as a retail pharmacist, as a long-term care or a specialty pharmacist, to reach out to your local representatives, your local congresspeople who are very interested in hearing from you, and put it on your list once a year, twice a year. Get them involved and tell the stories. There are so many pharmacists who have just come back from the fly-in to the Washington, D.C., that just happened, I think, within the last couple of weeks, who were talking with Senate, talking with Congress people. Those people love to hear those stories because now it makes sense. I've been in pharmacy now for 20 years, since 2004, and it took me almost 5-6 years to even understand what a PBM was. And then the ground started shifting and they started changing. And now, of course, the aggressiveness of the organization is more powerful than I can ever remember. But talk to our pharmacist about what you are suggesting that they can do to get involved in this, because like I said, this is their future.
Well, so there's a couple things that I just want to say. You know, it feels hopeless sometimes. I mean, PCMA is a very, very big organization with a lot of money. And it does feel like sometimes that we're, you know, our feet are shifting and we're losing ground. So what can you do actively right now from where you stand? And so I'm going to give you 5 tips of things that you can do right now today. First of all, again, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but join APHA and contribute to the Political Action Committee so we can fight this fight for Medicare Part D on the federal level. On the second thing you need to do is you need to find out who is administering your state employee insurance program in your state. One thing that represents really a lot of the revenue that pharmacies and states receive comes from your state employees insurance program, or your state teachers program, or your state retirees program. Those are 3 things where local politics really drive decision making, and you can have a huge impact on that, because typically those contracts for the pharmacy benefit that are being negotiated by your state government are 1 or 2 year contracts, typically speaking. and your state pharmacy association can take up as a priority working with the insurance commissioner or the labor board or whoever's got that responsibility at your state and influence the contract that's being signed with the PBM in your state for state employees. That's an active action that you can take today. And if you don't know who is in charge of that, call your state pharmacy association exec and find out. If you don't have a state pharmacy association exec, perhaps you're in a state where there's a, you know, volunteer leadership force, talk to the other pharmacists, figure that out. This is an actionable thing that every pharmacist can get involved with. The third thing I want to mention to you is your state Medicaid program. There are states that are exemplars in actually setting a fair remuneration system under their state Medicaid program. I just like to say probably, you know, 15 years ago, the state of Alabama led the way in revamping and revising the way that they pay for prescription drugs that's actually fair, that includes the cost of dispensing and actually reimburses pharmacists a fair rate for the prescriptions that are filled by Medicaid. That's another thing. If you're not working on your Medicaid cost of dispensing and your Medicaid reimbursements, that's another place where you need to be engaged locally to try to help make those changes happen, because Medicaid programs have authority to be able to set those rates and prices. And also just want to say, related to Medicaid, there is something called a Medicaid plan amendment that can be filed with the federal government. So in the meantime, while you're also working on that pricing for Medicaid drugs, your Medicaid agency can actually petition CMS at the federal level to authorize pharmacists as providers under your state Medicaid program and actually pay pharmacists for the clinical services that they provide under your state Medicaid program. And there are several states that have done this, that have actually submitted and successfully had approved plan waivers that allow pharmacists who have provider status in their state to bill the state Medicaid agency for clinical services. And this is something that it takes some effort, but APHA has staff assistants that can help with this. The National Association of State Pharmacy Associations, or NASPA, has leadership that can help with this. Dr. Crystal Weaver is a great friend, CEO of NASPA, and they can help with this. This is something actionable that pharmacists individually in their local communities can do. Maybe I'll just pause there for a moment and breathe, Todd, and let your listeners process. There's some actionable things that they can do in the moment that are going to help improve the situation, but it's going to take action. We can't just sit back and assume that somebody else is going to do it. Each of us individually as pharmacists have got to step in and lean into this and go after it ourselves. We have to engage. No one's going to engage for us. We have to engage.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there are so many things happening from state to states around changing payment reform and PBM reform. And there's the delinking the revenue from unfair gouging act, which is known as HR 6283. We have representatives from Iowa and California, as well as Oregon, working on that. We have bills that are being proposed to Secretary of State of Labor for S3330 that are also being considered. We have ensuring the PBM Compensation Act, which is HR 6844. The reason why I'm mentioning, and not to be specific, but I want the listeners to understand, there are things already happening in the states. There's already things happening. If you're referencing some of this material to your state congressperson, along with your stories as a pharmacy care provider, it really brings a lot of clarity and focus to the discussion. And if you need help setting that up, reach out to the APHA's teams, reach out to your state pharmacy organizations who are ready and are already on the fight. Each of the state pharmacy associations already know a lot of what's happening and what's going on. It's just a matter of getting involved.
Yeah, and I'd just like to say PCMA would like for all of you to believe, and like for every consumer to believe, that PBM reform is dead. They want us to all just give up. But nothing could be further from the truth, folks. Our Congress is still in session. This Congress is still seated and on their at their job and need to be held accountable for their work until Inauguration Day of next year. Okay, so we have got, you know, what you want to call it, the lame duck session of Congress that'll come after the election. We've got the days leading up. I mean, we're recording this podcast the day after the president has just signed a major war bill that was passed by both houses of Congress. Congress is still there and they're still able to act. And we need to hold our members of Congress accountable. The House of Representatives, in an overwhelming majority, has passed PBM legislation to regulate the PBMs and reform the way PBMs function under Medicare, okay? The Senate has not done its job. The United States Senate needs to have its feet held to the fire, and every pharmacist listening to this podcast, if you do nothing else, go to pharmacist.com, go to our legislative action website, and click on the PBM reform legislation that's listed there, and you can quickly, within 2 minutes, send a letter to your senators. You have two, and each state has two. You can send letters to your senators demanding that they pass PBM reform. We are going to continue to fight day in and day out, and we need every one of you to do that. We need you to send these letters. We need you to ask your patients to do it. We need you to ask your mama and your daddy to do it. We need you to ask your grandparents to do it. Literally everyone you know, we need them sending letters to Congress saying, hey, look, I want to continue to have access to my medicines and to my pharmacist, and we need to pass PBM reform. It needs to happen. It needs to happen now. It is not too late. Don't believe what you read on social media. PCMA would love to have you believe that it's dead. And you read this in the newspapers and so are they. It's not dead. It is still alive and it is still able to happen. It's only going to happen, however, if there is an overwhelming press of force in the U.S. Senate to convince senators that this needs to be done. And let me just make one real specific request. If you're listening to this podcast and you're from the state of Louisiana, it is your senators that actually held up this bill the last time that it was being considered. We were this close to having this PBM reform passed through the Senate, and it was Louisiana's senators that did not take action, that held this thing up. And, you know, I don't know what the reasons were entirely, but I just know that that's what happened. And I'm just calling it what it is. We need you guys to act. We need everyone to understand. If you're in Kentucky, Senator McConnell is very powerful. If you're in New York, Senator Schumer is very powerful. We need those guys to understand that this has got to happen. It's not optional for the profession of pharmacy. This has got to be passed. So we need action on the part of pharmacists to get this done. And it's not too late. Let's get it done.
Let's get it done. Together RX. Very, very good. Michael, we really appreciate this update from the APHA's podcasts, as well as just the amount of information that you're preparing and pushing to membership, as well as Pharmacy Today, which is a great publication. Once again, I'm going to put links in our show notes so that our listeners can click. If you're riding, if you're driving, don't worry about it. Wait until you get back somewhere where you can actually take action. But reach out to pharmacist.com. Look up the information. There is a section on pharmacist and pharmacy payment reform. And then there's, of course, the legal action tab, as well as CMS eliminates retroactive DIR fees. The reason why there's so much money from PCMA that they are spending is because they are under the gun and they know it. There's never been so much pressure on PBMs than there has been right now. I almost feel like, Michael, we're like fourth and one to the goal line, and we just need to keep pushing as hard as possible. And as you said, PCMA wants us to believe that it's over or something has subsided, and it's not. It's heating up in every state, definitely at the federal level. CMS is paying attention, and we're getting attention. The FTC is paying attention. They've been a champion and getting more lights around what is PBM reform and what that means for public health. But this is a public health emergency, and we need as many people, as many of our pharmacists, our technicians, your family members, people that understand, and then people in the business of pharmacy as well. If you're listening to the show, you run a pharmacy software company, you run anything that's supporting our pharmacists, call out to your employees to write letters, get involved. And if you need assistance, once again, please check out pharmacist.com to learn more. But Michael, this has been a very needed update and appreciated update. So thank you.
Thank you, Todd, and thanks to all of our listeners for being engaged and listening. And, you know, keep sending us your stories about what's happening on the front lines. We use them every day in our efforts to talk to members of the administration and Congress. And your voice is getting heard through APHA, and we want to make sure we continue to do that. So, Todd, thanks again. We appreciate the partnership with the Pharmacy Podcasting Network.
Thank you. Once again, check out pharmacist.com, join the Pharmacist Association, learn more about the benefits of the organization. There's much happening, and it's more powerful than it's ever been before. We're very proud to be part of this, and we thank you for all of the work that you do for your communities as pharmacists and technicians. And if there's anything that we can do for you, please reach out to us. Thank you.